Another edition of Soul Town, the Sound of Music. We are mourning a loss of a great person in Soul Town. The Honorable Judge Deami Bailey passed away recently, last week, and he founded and co-founded the Civil Rights Museum in Memphis that is around the corner almost from Stax Museum. So, you know, it's like kind of gives you a good idea of what was going on in the soul music era. And, you know, when you think about some of the young guys that came through that area, guys like Sam Cooke, who originally was born and raised in Clarksville, Mississippi, which is right down the street here. And I'm going to listen to him for a minute here and just kind of remember the Judge Deami Bailey and his fight for freedom for African Americans and his love of soul music. The late, great Sam Cooke, vocalist from way back, that was at the beginning of the forefront of soul music, and the R&B genre was, he bloated wide open. And, you know, we love to listen to him. I mean, I can go back to his gospel days with the Soul Stirrers, and when he was here in Memphis, and Reverend Herbert Brewster wrote one or two hit gospel singles for him that really took off. I mean, we're talking about in the million selling range at that time, which was had to be in the 40s and the early 50s. And he was just a great vocalist and a great artist. And the entertainment world misses him very much. But like I said, D'Ama Bailey was one of the first civil rights activists that I knew. He was an attorney. He was an attorney, and he was very heavily involved in civil rights. For a person in what we call Soulville today, Memphis, was in the South, and just for him to actually espouse some of the ideas that he had about equality and things like that, and desegregation, and it was very taboo in this area. And for an attorney, it was more so because he was speaking to a wider audience of people. But he did not let it stop him. It did not persuade him to do anything other than continue. And he went on and found the Civil Rights Museum there, and I mean, he put a lot of effort and time into that and got that taken care of. And we just want to let Dr. King sum it all up.
Happy to join with you today in what will go down in history as the greatest demonstration for freedom in the history of our nation. Five score years ago, a great American in whose symbolic shadow we stand today signed the Emancipation Proclamation. This momentous decree came as a great beacon light of hope to millions of Negro slaves who had been seared in the flames of withering injustice. It came as a joyous daybreak to end the long night of their captivity. But 100 years later, the Negro still is not free. 100 years later, the life of the Negro is still sadly crippled by the manacles of segregation and the chains of discrimination. 100 years later, the Negro lives on a lonely island of poverty in the midst of a vast ocean of material prosperity. 100 years later, the Negro has still languished in the corners of American society and finds himself in exile in his own land. And so we've come here today to dramatize a shameful condition. In a sense, we've come to our nation's capital to cash a check. When the architects of our republic wrote the magnificent words of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, they were signing a promissory note to which every American was to fall heir. This note was a promise that all men, yes, black men as well as white men, would be guaranteed the unalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It is obvious today that America has defaulted on this promissory note insofar as her citizens of color are concerned. Instead of honoring this sacred obligation, America has given the Negro people a bad check, a check which has come back marked insufficient funds. But we refuse to believe that the Bank of Justice is bankrupt. We refuse to believe that there are insufficient funds in the great vaults of opportunity of this nation. And so we've come to cash this check, a check that will give us upon demand the riches of freedom and the security of justice. We have also come to this hallowed spot to remind America of the fierce urgency of now. This is no time to engage in the luxury of cooling off or to take the tranquilizing drug of gradualism. Now is the time to make real the promises of democracy. Now is the time to rise from the dark and desolate valley of segregation to the sunlit path of racial justice. Now is the time to lift our nation from the quicksands of racial injustice to the solid rock of brotherhood. Now is the time to make justice a reality for all of God's children. It would be fatal for the nation to overlook the urgency of the moment. This sweltering summit of the Negro's legitimate discontent will not pass until there is an invigorating autumn of freedom and equality. 1963 is not an end, but a beginning. Those who hope that the Negro needed to blow off steam and will now be content, we'll have a rude awakening if the nation returns to business as usual. There will be neither rest nor tranquility in America until the Negro is granted his citizenship rights. The whirlwinds of revolt will continue to shake the foundations of our nation until the bright day of justice emerges. But that is something that I must say to my people who stand on the warm threshold which leads into the palace of justice. In the process of gaining our rightful place, we must not be guilty of wrongful deeds. Let us not seek to satisfy our thirst for freedom by drinking from the cup of bitterness and hatred. We must fail to conduct our struggle on the high plane of dignity and discipline. We must not allow our creative protests to degenerate into physical violence. Again and again, we must rise to the majestic heights of meeting physical force with soul force. The marvelous new militancy which has engulfed the Negro community must not lead us to a distrust of all white people. For many of our white brothers, as evidenced by their presence here today, have come to realize that their destiny is inextricably bound to our freedom.
walk alone. As we walk, we must make the pledge that we shall always march ahead. We cannot turn back. There are those who are asking the devotees of civil rights, when will you be satisfied? We can never be satisfied as long as the Negro is the victim of the unspeakable horrors of police brutality. We can never be satisfied. As long as our body is heavy with the fatigue of travel, cannot gain lodging in the motels of the highways and the hotels of the city. We cannot be satisfied as long as a Negro in Mississippi cannot vote, and a Negro in New York believes he has nothing for which to vote. No, no, we are not satisfied, and we will not be satisfied until justice rolls down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream. I am not unmindful that some of you have come here out of great trials and tribulations. Some of you have come fresh from narrow jail cells. Some of you have come from areas where your quest for freedom left you battered by the storms of persecution. Yes. And staggered by the winds of police brutality. You have been the veterans of creative suffering. Continue to work with the faith that unearned suffering is redemptive. Go back to Mississippi. Go back to Alabama. Go back to South Carolina. Go back to Georgia. Go back to Louisiana. Go back to the slums and ghettos of our northern cities, knowing that somehow this situation can and will be changed. Let us not wallow in the valley of despair. I say to you today, my friend, so even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. Yes. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. Yes. I have a dream that one day, yes, this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. Yes. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day, even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day, down in Alabama, with its vicious racists, with its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification, One day right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted. And every hill and mountain shall be made low. The rough places will be made plain. And the crooked places will be made straight. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. And all flesh shall see it together. This is our hope. This is the faith that I go back to the South with. With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. This will be the day when all of God's children will be able to sing with new meaning, "My country, 'tis of thee." Sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride. From every mountainside, let freedom ring. And if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. So let freedom ring. From the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire, let freedom ring. From the mighty mountains of New York, let freedom ring. From the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania, let freedom ring. From the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado, let freedom ring. From the curvaceous slopes of California. But not only that, let freedom ring from Stone Mountain of Georgia. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and molehill of Mississippi, from every mountainside. Let freedom ring, and when this happens, when we allow freedom ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, "Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last."
The late Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Giving his great speech, "I Have a Dream" speech in Washington, D.C., in the Lincoln Memorial, on the Mall. But that was one of our greatest historical speeches there. But that was played in honor of the late great judge, Diamond Bailey, who founded the Civil Rights Museum in Memphis, and Dr. King was murdered. So, if you're ever in Memphis, please look up the museum and look at some of the things that are featured in there about the lives of Dr. King and some of the other great people that involved in the Civil Rights Movement. But we definitely want to honor these great people as they pass on. And thank God that they were able to bless us with their love and while they were here. We're going to move on to another note that with Miss Shirley Brown here. going on all the way, you know. And she was, you know, her days there. But our boyfriend, Shirley Brown.
You're always understanding. You never get
Shirley Brown. Okay, that was another blast from the soul music past there. So she had some smash hits on that album, Intimate Storm. And I would like to pat myself on the back because we did a good job. Company really did a great job on production and everything. It was great, beautiful songs. And she definitely did a great job on the vocals. And you know, I've always commended her for her talent and for the great job that she did on those songs. And for four of those songs on that album to go to the top 100 on the R&B chart, Billboard magazine, was a feat that was very hard to accomplish. I mean, you got to have close to half of the radio stations, R&B stations in the United States playing your music to get on the chart. And just to be able to move up the chart is, you know, and keep a bullet. That's, and all of them came on the chart with a bullet and going up the chart. So that's just a great album, Intimate Storm. Shirley Brown going, it's available on the internet. And you can get it if you want it. But we also want to remind everybody to go to Amazon.com and get the book, An Excursion in Soul, and get some of the history that occurred during the soul music era and during the time that soul music era began to dismantle. So check it out. And it's a great book, An Excursion in Soul. The author is yours truly, Reginald Jenkins. Check it out and read some of the articles in it. Pull it up on Amazon.com, Kindle, iPad, however you want to do it, and it's available. So it's got a lot of information about the music business, and hopefully it'll help everybody out. Everybody get some kind of idea of what happened in the music business, what is happening in the music business today. And that's one of the main things the book focuses on. But back to the soul music era, we're going to look at some of the greats from Soulville. This guy here, Maurice White, he was older than me, but he attended a high school right across town called Booker T. Washington High School, and which was attended by a lot of the guys in the music industry. At that particular time, they weren't in the music industry, but they began. You got people like David Porter, who was a Booker T. Washington graduate, wrote hits like You There by the Staple Singers. That was one of the great hits that he wrote, and him and Isaac Hayes wrote them together. They were great writers. And they wrote songs for Sam and Dave like I'm a Soul Man and Hold On, I'm Coming. And, you know, they wrote songs for Carla Thomas, different other people that were successful in the music business. And David was a student at Booker T. Washington High School. This was way before my time. And we have a guy here who was a classmate of David at Booker T. Washington, and which was in inner city, and hey, right in the neighborhood where Stax Records flourished. But this young man here was a great artist and had a great group. It's Mr. Maurice White and Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Change.
Maurice White and Earth, Wind & Fire. They took it to a whole different level. Number one pop hits across the world for many years, and millions of records sold internationally. But from Soulville, Maurice White, one of the greats. Here's another great from Soul Music Era who did some things with the guitar. I mean, this guy, he made the guitar, you know, an instrument and almost like another voice. But young man from the Soul Era that we remember, and the late, great Roger Troutman. Troutman, man who really put the wah-wah in the guitar and made a big difference in the way we listen to guitars today. even though we hadn't been able to find anybody else that had that kind of ability. But he did some things with it that probably won't be done again. But he brought it into play. We want to play a song today that it's a gospel song, but I spoke earlier, we are honoring the great judge, D'Amir Bailey, and his work with the Civil Rights Museum in Memphis, Tennessee, Soulville. This is one of his favorite songs, one of his favorite artists. Okay, Walter Hawkins.
Tragedies are commonplace. All kinds of diseases people are slipping away. The economy's down. People can't get enough pay. But as for me, I said, they're living out in the streets, and the drug habits. I'm not just talking about folks out in the street, but right in the church, drug habits of some folks hiding just can't beat. There are mothers and robbers. No place seems to be safe. Lord, but you've been my protection. Oh, you've been my protection every step of the way. Yes, you have, Lord. Yes, you have, Lord. Yes, you have, Lord. And I want to say, and I want to say, and I want to say, thank you.
Thank you.
Walter Hawkins. I mean, the great Walter Hawkins. Man, you know, he's great. Thank you. That was the title of the cut. And he's thanking God for all his blessings. Okay, here back to the soul music era, and here's Jay Blackfoot talking about the Way of the City. And he's
do not adjust the sound on your stereo. There is nothing wrong with your set. For the next 34 minutes, I will control what you hear and feel. You're about to be taken on a musical safari through the most ferocious jungle known to man. A jungle where the hunter is often captured by the game. This is a city, and you are there.
Here came in right behind the Way of the City on the album, and the album is City Slicker by Jay Blackfoot. So check it out. It's featured in the book, An Excursion in Soul. Check it out on Amazon.com and Kindle. And if you have any questions, call us here at area code 347-838-9142. That's Soul Town, the sound.
What time is it? Man, I gotta hurry up and get there. I don't see no cabs nowhere. Wait, yeah, that one over there. Yeah,